Well, today is 1 week since Easter and the celebration of resurrection. 1 week since all the chaos and excitement. 1 week since the empty tomb and folded burial cloths. 1 week since Alleluia, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed. It's 1 week after the resurrection, and the disciples are in the same place they were Easter night. They are in the same house, the same walls, same room, behind the same locked doors, hiding in the same fear. Nothing much has changed. If the resurrection is such a life-changing event, why are they stuck in the same place? What difference has the empty tomb made? How has it changed them? Has it led them to see themselves and their world differently? And what about their relationship with Jesus? Has the resurrection strengthened their faith and belief in the risen Savior? A week later, it doesn't look like the empty tomb has made much difference. Because they're in the same place, behind the same locked doors as a week ago. What's changed? I wonder, 1 week after Easter, what has the empty tomb and Christ's resurrection done for us? Is your life different? Is my life different? Do we see and engage our lives re-energized with a renewed sense of faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? What difference has the empty tomb and Jesus' resurrection made in our lives over the last week? There comes a time when we must live the resurrection. That's not always easy. There are days when we prefer to just stay in bed, pull the covers over our head, and let the world and all that's out there that threatens us pass us by. And in these days of social distancing, masks, and staying home to stay safe, it's easier to lock the doors and avoid the potential health threats. We know what that's like. Sometimes we just want to run away and hide and not deal with the reality, but these days that just isn't an option. And every time we shut the doors of our life, our minds, and our heart, we imprison ourselves. For every event or idea we lock out, regardless of the reason, we lock ourselves in. That's what happened to the disciples in today's gospel story. It's Easter evening, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, the day they saw the empty tomb, the day Mary Magdalene announced, "I have seen the Lord." The disciples are gathered in the house. The doors are locked with fear. A week later, they're in the same place. It's the same house, the same walls, the same closed doors, the same locks. Nothing much has changed. Jesus' tomb is open and empty, but the disciples' house is closed and the doors are locked tight, and they're hiding in fear. Their house has become their tomb. Jesus is on the loose, but the disciples are bound in fear. The disciples have separated themselves and their lives from the reality of Jesus' resurrection. Their doors of faith have been closed. They have shut their eyes to the reality that life is now different. They have locked out Mary Magdalene's words of faith and hope and love. They've left the empty tomb of Jesus and entered their own tombs of fear and doubt and blindness. The locked doors have become the great stone sealing their own tomb, and they've locked themselves in. The doors of our tombs are always locked from the inside. All this, and it has been only 1 week. I used to hear today's gospel lesson, and well, it's really easy for us post-resurrection believers to be critical of the disciples. They're stuck in the same place. I should have done better than that. After all, death has been defeated. The cross and the empty tomb are symbols of Hosanna, Christ is risen, hallelujah, right? Why aren't their lives different? Most often, our criticism of others often reveals as much about ourselves as it does about the ones we criticize. And then we realize, there but for the grace of God go I, and we were really questioning our own lives. Why isn't my life different because of Easter? Am I stuck in the same place? I should be doing better than this. I should be living the resurrection better, more powerfully, more fully, more authentically than what I am. After all, the Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I should be hearing the gospel, the good news, differently from how I used to. Here's what I think today's gospel is telling us. Christ's resurrection is a big deal. The empty tomb, resurrection, is a life-changing event. It's the heart and crux of our faith in the living God and Jesus Christ. The resurrection does make a difference in our lives. It also takes time. The resurrection life takes time. It's not only a one-time event. It's something that we grow into day after day. It's a process. We live into the resurrection life. It's a way of being and an everyday life to be lived. By the grace of God, we grow into Easter people, people of the resurrection, through our relationships and how we live in our relationships with others and our relationship with God, and how we live in the daily circumstances of our lives. Every day we live our lives surrounded by resurrection light. It's not always easy. Some days are just plain hard. If we have any expectations at all, I wonder if we sometimes come to Easter Sunday and resurrection and the empty tomb expecting to wake up on Monday to a whole new life in a brand new world. But for some, Easter Monday is the same world as was their Good Friday. It's not because the resurrection failed, or because Jesus didn't do the Jesus thing in our lives. It's because living a life shaped by the resurrection takes time. Maybe we need to stop staring into an empty tomb and start living the story of the resurrection. You see, there's a difference between facts and story. Facts are one-dimensional. Stories are multidimensional. Facts inform the mind. Stories touch the heart. Facts transmit information. Stories transform lives. And think about it like this. A fact is like a snapshot of a particular moment in time. A story is a dynamic event that takes us across time. The empty tomb is a fact, but the resurrection is a story of transformation. Maybe we need to begin to understand resurrection as the story of our life instead of a snapshot of Christ's life. The fact of the empty tomb is not the story of the resurrection. The facts of Jesus' life is not the story of Jesus. The facts of your life and my life are not the story of our lives. The facts are just the starting point of our story. The fact of the empty tomb is only the starting point for the resurrection story. Whatever facts you woke up to on Easter Monday are simply the starting point for your story of resurrection. Too often we take the facts as the entire story. Isn't that what we've done with Thomas? Let me ask you. What facts come to mind when you hear his name? Thomas. Well, he was a doubter. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, Thomas said, I will not believe. That Thomas doubted may be the only fact that comes to mind. And so we tag the poor man's name. We call him Doubting Thomas. What if that fact is just the starting point for his resurrection-shaped life? What if it's not the whole story? What if where we start is less important than where we go and where we end? Do you know the end of Thomas's story? Do you know where he died? Thomas died in India. Thomas was the apostle to the people of India. He brought the good news of Jesus Christ to India. He died a martyr after he was run through with 5 spears by 5 soldiers. That doesn't sound much like a doubter, does it? Sounds like someone who grew and changed. Someone for whom the resurrection of Christ was real. Someone for whom the resurrection made a difference. Just took a little time, as it does for most, maybe all of us. We know Doubting Thomas, but let's not forget Confessing Thomas. He's in today's gospel lesson as well. When he recognized that it was Jesus alive from the tomb, he said, "My Lord and my God." That was his confession of faith. With those words, Thomas has recognized and named a new relationship, a new way of being, and he has claimed the resurrection life. Somewhere between the Doubting Thomas and Confessing Thomas is the story of resurrection in Thomas's life. All that stuff about Doubting Thomas, the fact of his disbelief, is just Thomas's starting place for his resurrection-shaped life. It's neither good nor bad, it's his starting place. And we all have to have a starting place. What's your starting place? What are the facts of your life today? Whatever your life is today, whatever your circumstances are, that's the starting point for your resurrection-shaped life. If you're dealing with deep loneliness or sorrow and loss, that's your starting point. That's the room which Christ enters. If you are locked in a house of fear, confusion, or darkness, that's your starting place and the place in which Jesus stands. If illness, age, disability, or uncertainty are facts of your life, that's your starting place and the place in which Jesus shows up. If you feel lost, betrayed, disappointed, overwhelmed, that's your starting point and the room that Jesus enters. If joy and gratitude and celebration are the facts of your life today, then that's the starting point for your story of resurrection. All those things and 1,000 others are the many ways the doors of our houses become locked. Whatever it might be for you, it's just your starting point. The great tragedy is not that the disciples are in the same house behind the same locked doors. That was their starting place. The great tragedy would be if the disciples refused to unlock the doors, refused to open the doors, and refused to claim the resurrection story for themselves. What are the doors? What are the doors that are locked in your life? What are the things that have kept you stuck in the same place? I'll say it again. It's just your starting place. Don't judge it as good or bad, right or wrong. It's just where you are. And it's the place Jesus Christ shows up. It happened twice in today's gospel lesson. Both times the disciples are in the same house behind the same locked doors, and Jesus shows up and he stands in their presence with them. The walls and the locked doors of their house couldn't keep Jesus out, and the walls and locked doors of your house will not keep Jesus out. He steps into the midst of our house through the locked doors and breathes peace and life into us. He breathes peace and hope into us. He breathes peace and courage into us. He brings peace and strength into us. And that breath of peace is the key that unlocks the door. Jesus is always entering the locked places of our lives. He comes Eastering in us. Unexpected, uninvited, and sometimes even unwanted, he steps into our closed lives, closed hearts, and our closed minds. And standing among us, he offers peace and breathes new life of the Spirit into us. He doesn't open the door for us, but he gives us all that we need so that we might open the doors to a new life, a new creation, and a new way of being. Jesus stands among us now. Jesus stands among us now in this place, in the place where you are, breathing into us his peace and reaching to us the resurrection-shaped life. So take a deep breath. Take it all in. And let the peace of Christ fill you with the alleluia of resurrection. Let it give you hope and courage. Let it give you strength to unlock and open the doors of your life so that you can claim the resurrection life for yourself.